Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my fabulous co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Good evening, everybody. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, darling.
I'm ready for the wild ride.
All right. Tonight's show, The Shadow Continues, Unveiling Your True Self. Tonight we discuss the changes that are afoot, things that are changing and accelerating so rapidly that we are actually changing from minute to minute, and that I know for a fact. It can be wonderful, exciting, frightening, and frustrating. So who are we really? Well, the veils are beginning to fall away, revealing our beliefs and our choices and how they've created the lives we've experienced. Not always a pretty story, everyone. Was it all a dream? Yes. Am I losing my mind? Yes. And congratulations. That's really what we are doing. And I apologize to everyone when I go to write this damn thing for the show. I go into an immediate altered state and I can't spell. So when I go back in to do the notes for the radio show, I sit here and laugh uproariously at my spelling.
You think
so
it's your team spelling?
I'm sorry?
Is it your team spelling?
I have no... Yeah, I'd love to blame them. I don't know if they...
I'm just thinking it's kind of vibrational phonetics. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, okay, I'll go with that. Thanks, Ronnie. Well, the interesting thing is that I live so much in the now moment. More and more that I'm going to have to be more conscious when I do that. You know, I say this every week, and you'd think that, you know, because I'm a real stickler for details.
We see that, Jackie.
Yeah, right, yeah, me too. At any rate, I do apologize. Just bear with me. And tonight's dedication, and I'm really excited about this. I found this today. It's called globalonenessproject.org. There's a trailer on the website, a video trailer that is absolutely brilliant. It will move you. They say there it's a retrospective of our journey this past year, offering a picture of what is being born during this time of global transformation. It's all from all over the world. It's absolutely beautiful about what's being born on this planet, everywhere. A whole raising of consciousness, and they've done a beautiful job. So tonight I would really like to dedicate the show to that movement, because that's what we're really all about, is waking up and to global oneness. It's just beautiful.
Wonderful.
And, again, a little cautionary statement about our political climate right now. I have some interesting comments about this from a previous show. But I want to talk about the power of the Internet. There are so many negative emails going out right now being circulated about the current candidates. And I've received several that stated negative things about a candidate, and it always says right at the beginning, it's on Snopes.com, and there's a link. But nobody ever bothers to go to Snopes and actually verify it. And I have done this in every case, and in every case... It's been baloney, and Snopes has said it was baloney, and then I've written to the person that was circulating it and, you know, and said, please, you know, look at this, read it, and so please be responsible right now about anything that you're forwarding to your friends about the candidates. And, you know, this may be something you want to believe, a negative thing about a candidate. It may not be a candidate that you happen to particularly like. But forwarding information that isn't accurate, this is not a time. I mean, right now is a time to be really super responsible.
Super honest, eh?
Yeah, and our actions and intent are every bit as important as our vote right now. It's resonance and frequency that's felt everywhere. And every thought is a thing, and intentions are so important. So, you know, we have to really, all of us, look at, you know, what is our role, what is our place. It's holding the highest resonance we can in every single situation and being as responsible as we can. And if we want our politics and leadership to change, then we have to start taking more responsibility for everything we do and think. We have more power than we realize, own, or recognize. Boy, this one is just so big. When we stop feeling powerless, we will see it reflected in our outer world. Ronnie, are you getting a lot of political stuff?
No, actually I'm not. But I do get this whole thing about tearing down people and looking for the muck behind them. And I'm like, we've got to stop that. I've been listening to some DVDs by Ma Fu, who's a channel being very wonderful. I used to study him years ago. And he's saying just the same stuff as we would say or your team would say or whatever, that it's all a reflection of us anyway. And until we really get it inside, we're not going to ever make a change, you know?
No. No, we're not. And, you know, again, this is about, you know, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, really looking with different eyes than we've ever looked before. I've gotten several emails where people have jumped on board talking about, you know, how this one's too young or that one's too old or this or that. And I just see their stuff falling out, you know, as they're making their comments. And I'm thinking, okay, guys. You know, vote your heart. Vote your heart.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, stay empowered.
And it's so interesting that we set up a whole thing and then we start to pull them down the minute that their heads stick up above the crowd, don't we? I mean, that's what the tradition has been, and we just can't do that anymore.
Well, they're people.
Right.
And, you know, I think that, you know, our system has made it so that, you know, obviously it's money and it's support, and, you know, there are other candidates that certainly have great messages. I heard this talked about by somebody the other day, that there are countless, a wonderful political journalist, and he was talking about some of the other candidates. He was on Bill Maher, who have great messages but don't have the financial backing.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore their messages are not really being heard. I think this is going to be a year where you're going to see some long shots come in that nobody expects. You know, I think this is not a cut and dried situation by any stretch of the imagination. So where we put our energies and our support, not just our vote, is going to be very, very important. Remember, we are being watched like we have never been watched before. What is our intention for our planet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is our intention? You know, there was a time when they were going strictly through our government because it's who we elected. From them looking outside into our planet right now, they recognize that the political process has been highly tainted, and so now they're working with us directly. So now it's a matter of responsibility and taking our power like we've never taken it before.
And hey, Jackie, I'm going to ask a really simplistic question. It's like, who exactly is watching?
Oh, that's a good question. More races than any of you can possibly imagine. If you picked a number, you still wouldn't be big enough.
So are we a big soccer match for them right now?
Huge. What we're doing here has never been done before, ever, 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 ever. And for a number of reasons, you know, we carry genetics from such a number of races. In fact, this is something, and I was going to include this tonight, and I forgot.
Let me throw a question in while you're doing that.
Go ahead.
Who was it that showed up in Texas over the last few days?
Actually, the Zetas are taking credit for that.
Okay.
And they're claiming that the reason that they did, and again, I don't surface negative information. I try to stay away from that. The Zetas are claiming that they are trying to send messages to specific locations on the planet that are going to be affected by Earth changes. And in that particular location, because Dallas is low-lying, that there's going to be flooding there, and that there will be this particular part of Texas, which is outside of Dallas, is at a higher elevation, and they're trying to warn them and download information to them to prepare. So that's what they're claiming. I don't even ask, to be honest with you, Ronnie, because I don't really involve myself in that. I have this piece. Genetically, okay, on this planet, and there are others, but we include Orion, Andromeda, Arcturus, Pleiades, Lyra, Sirius, Bootis, Vega, and Alpha Centauri. We are a combination, okay, of 12 star systems. It's the first time I've ever actually seen it in print. So we are really a melting pot in many, many ways, and what we're doing here and the way we're doing it has just never happened before.
And where are the Zetas from, the Zetas?
Well, you know, that's a whole show. And,
okay.
You know, I'm not going to get into that one because we have not been prepared yet to have the answers to that.
Okay.
Even Bashar is careful about giving that information. Bashar has inferred that the Zetas in many ways are, we are them and they are us, which would infer that there's a possibility that they are, as the Earth is splitting apart, okay, and the new Earth is being born, and there is an old Earth that will remain that experiences all the Earth changes, okay, that in essence, from the best that I understand at this time, part of the Zetas are the ones that remained. They were the Earth beings that remained on Earth and experienced all the Earth changes. In essence, they've come back to try to change that. A lot of us have come back from the future and come into this incarnation to try to change what happens here for a number of reasons. That doesn't mean we're Zetas, but there are a lot of people who are. Who have genetics, Zeta genetics, which means, in essence, if I were to, there are probably three different kinds of Zetas energetically, but, you know, again, this is a very complex talk, and it's really technical. Remember, we're dealing with past, present, and future when we're dealing with the other side of the veil. So,
and all 12 that you mentioned of the different star sources or the beginning places were all related to those as well. Huh?
Well, they're not necessarily related to the Zetas at all. If you look at it, the Zetas are always kind of separate. And that's why, you know, Bashar over the years, and I mean years, has made inferences, made, you know, that they potentially, you know, he said quite a bit lately, they are us. And, you know, how that all shakes out, I don't, again, I hate to get into that. Some of the stuff that they're doing in conjunction with other races from other star systems. And, you know, I don't like to get into any of the negative side of that. I really don't, because I don't tend to work with anything that's on the negative side. Have I encountered it? Yes. You know, do I work with them? No. But,
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a great show when you're talking about all that as well.
Well, I have asked for further explanation so that I could share more information with humans about what's going on, and they give it to me in bits and pieces, and they kind of download it in, and then I have to try to integrate it and bring it out into something that makes sense in English language. That's not always easy. Okay. So,
coming out in your spelling.
Yeah, thank you. So tonight, I want to talk about, and we briefly touched on this, Veronica, just before the show. And this is about unveiling our true selves, which is, this is big stuff, folks. I mean, I know energetically that everybody is feeling like, oh my God, and moment by moment we're feeling different here and there. And I know I sure am. So I want to talk about a session that happened this week and how incredibly powerful it was and how it rocked my world. And just to give you an example of how cutting edge we're getting right now and in terms of reclaiming who we really are. And for those of you who may be tuning in for the first time tonight, I do sessions in the house and I do them from here. I do them remotely. This happened to be a session that I was going to do remotely with someone that I've worked with over probably the last 4 years. She has an incredible history in Atlantis, very much involved in as a key player and witness to the demise of Atlantis and the abuse of power. She was not a participant, but definitely a witness to it, very involved on a familial level. I'm back with those people in this lifetime. And we've been preparing her, in essence. There are several people I work with who are bringing in or have brought in extraordinary children that are going to have huge leadership roles on the planet. And in her case, we've been to the Arcturian Gate for her to meet these children and blend with them.
These are children that she's going to give birth to?
These are children that she's going to give birth to. And that particular session, as she said to me, Jackie, if I ever question for a moment, which I never have, that everything that happens with you is real, it was happening to her before the team was saying anything to her. It was just one of those kind of off the map, which most of her sessions are anyway. And I go running upstairs, as I always do, because I'm on a very tight schedule. I have to get into channel very quickly, and I open the healing room door, and there standing in the healing room are members of the Federation. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh shit. Not very elegant, folks, but that was my response. Now, the question would be, how did you know they were members of the Federation? A, they were all in uniform. B, I seem to know all of them, which I thought was very interesting. I've been so many times before the Federation, but I don't register the way, because things move so fast for me. I'm so in the now moment. But what happened, I'm not used to open the healing room door and having everybody standing there, because we kind of have an agreement, don't distract me. I'm very focused on what I'm doing, and it doesn't take much to throw me off. I live in my nice little bubble. And it threw me off so much that I had to stop dead and close my eyes so that I could try to integrate what was happening, and I only had a moment to do it. And I kind of immediately shut it out, walked over rapidly, sat down in my chair where I, you know, put my crystals in place, did my thing, got into channel, began her session, and we were doing a power retrieval with this person that she had quite a history with. And we were in the second chakra, and all of a sudden, she was retrieving her magic, okay? And literally, planets are coming out of her second chakra as we're going through the cosmos, first through Atlantis, and then we're going through the cosmos. She is totally out of body, floating in the cosmos, and I get helicopters galore that are over the house. The windows are rattling. They're not circling. They're literally, I was waiting for the damn thing just to land on the top of the house. And airplanes. Now the planes are coming in. And I'm struggling to stay in channel because I realize this is absolutely huge. I can't come back in and run outside, which is what I want to do, to find out what the hell is going on, because I have no idea. And I have a responsibility to this person who is out in process in a huge way, bigger than we had ever experienced in a session before. And finally, thank heaven, they said to me, there is a ship over the house. This is what's going on. You know, the helicopters were there, then the small planes, and then the fighter planes. I don't know what you would call them. It was a scene out of some unbelievable movie or sitcom.
But I'm going to ask the obvious question, why?
Well, evidently, when the Federation came in, for whatever reason, okay, it created a disturbance. Now, you have to remember, I'm here in Las Vegas, Area 51, Nellis Air Force Base, et cetera, et cetera. I have had this experience, not this earth-shaking before, mm-hmm. but I've had this experience before where we create, and unfortunately I don't have a scientific language for this, we create an actual disturbance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Veronica, you would know this person. This is a very well-known channel, and it used to happen whenever I did a session on her, that we would create a disturbance and in would come the helicopter. So I asked, please, you know, don't please, let's figure a way to do this so it's not so big. You know, the phones would kick out, you know, the electricity would go off. But this was different. This was a definite, it must have created a major disturbance.
Tell me, did the Federation beings, did they stay there while she had her session?
I have no idea, because I was in channel.
Okay.
And, I mean, I literally sat down, went right into channel. I'm in channel in a matter of seconds.
And did she see them?
No. They were in, this is what's unusual. They were in the healing room. Normally, you know, I'm used to when I'm doing a remote session, everybody is with client. I may have beings in there, but, you know, I'm used to them and I don't, it's not a big deal. These were not beings who are normally in my healing room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to us being on screen, but I think in this particular case, they were also monitoring me to see if I could handle the frequencies. And the frequencies were so high in this particular session that my poor intestines were just going nuts.
Wow.
And then there was the physical disturbance and the helicopters were not circling. They literally were hovering over the house. And the windows were rattling. And it was daylight. These were not police helicopters. So it was quite an amazing... And interestingly enough, she did not hear this. She was so out of body, and it was so, when she gets the tape, I mean, it's going to be hysterical because you can hear this on the tape.
Mm, a bit.
And, I mean, the table was rattling that had the recorders on it.
And she was there in the physical? Or
she
was
not in the healing room. She was at home in her state.
Oh, I see. Okay.
She was not in the healing room.
Okay.
That's why it was unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was shocked when I walked in the room. I'm not used to having, I mean, this was very official. And now the reason, why are they excited? Why were they there? Well, the goal has been, how can we help humans and not take their power away, have them claim more power? Okay, this has been the big thing. For all non-human races, in terms of our evolution, is non-interference with our evolution and doing only what is absolutely necessary as far as protecting the planet, but being very, very careful with our evolution in the process. And so what we have found, and this has been very experimental, I've said, you know, it's taken us, we're running up on 4 years now, building protocols. How do we come in the back door and do this, and people become empowered as a result, not giving their power away to extraterrestrials, if you want to call them that, or star beings? They don't want us to do that. This is historically where it's gone wrong on other planets. There was intervention too soon. The races did not evolve to the highest level that they could have. We have the potential to do that that has never happened before. That's what's fascinating about this.
Mm-hmm. It's very exciting, isn't it?
Yes. Now, the fascinating part will be, and we've been monitoring, and everyone, and I will tell you this, everyone that we work with is monitored to see what happens to their emotional bodies, to their lives, to their interactions with other people in their family structures and so on, because we want to know, you know, is this working in a way that's appropriate without, and that's the reason we always, you know, during the invocation, is that your higher self, soul, and oversoul are the gatekeepers of the experience. So, you know, it was, I mean, if you think about this, Veronica, about reclaiming the power that you have lost through every incarnation, the magic, your magic. I mean, to me, it's mind-boggling. And I still haven't integrated it all. You know, I recognize, though, that this was very, very big. And oftentimes, when we're doing sessions, we're on screen on the at the Federation level. They're actually watching what's going on. I used to be aware of this much more than I am now. It's a distraction factor, so I don't tap in. But we are being monitored all the time. This is, as we're moving and these big pieces move forward, it's a matter of, you know, can people do a power retrieval with magic? Yes. I mean, this was loud and clear, you know, the other night. But the key here was that this was, who held the magic was her nemesis in this lifetime. And that's where I thought it was such an amazing paradox.
So is it someone who's dominant over her normally, or has been?
Has been.
Yeah.
Who she gave away tremendous power to. Not only in this lifetime, but other lifetimes. So this opens up a whole new idea of the roles that people have played for us in this lifetime. And you know, also, you know, could it be that we've agreed to come in with these same people so that we would finally take back our power and our magic? You know, what it really says is let's rethink the people that we have thought have been the real bad guys in our lifetime. And look at the opportunity for them to be the surrogate to reclaim those lost pieces of ourselves.
So as she claimed her magic, what happens to the other person who's holding the magic?
That's a really good question. I don't have an answer to that.
But it's pretty interesting, isn't it?
Well, we have seen the energetic tie-ins prior to this, but never tying it directly to the magic, to some of the power, yes, but to the magic, no. We don't know yet what's going to happen. I mean, the goal is not to hurt anyone, but if this was an agreement coming in and they came in as agreeing to do this, to say, okay, at some point you're going to have the opportunity, maybe this possibility didn't exist when they came in, I don't know. But I'm assuming it did.
Well, I'm just assuming that if this person is a surrogate, as you called it, of her magic, there must have been a displacement in the sense of security and power and identity.
Totally.
Yeah. I'd be really interested in
not only in this lifetime, and I can't go into details in the other one, but I can tell you that in terms of human history, huge. This particular client has never been a small player, but interestingly enough, never recognized, certainly, she's always known she was magical, but never before moving into the totality of that power and magic like she is right now.
Mm.
And where that goes is beyond anything I can imagine. I mean, will she be monitored? Oh, hell yes. So, is this part of the paradox? And I'm going to quote something here which I thought was so appropriate. There is never a separation. There is only one of us, and at the same time, there are many of us. This is the dichotomy of the Creator. If there is only one of us, viewed from different perspectives, then in reality, going back to your question, Veronica, are we taking our power back from who? One of us. You know, as we end the show every week, if a piece of me is in you and a piece of you is in me, it can be no other way. We really are one.
Mm-hmm.
So in essence, we're reclaiming from another part of ourselves.
That gets pretty enigmatic, doesn't it?
Yeah, it gets very enigmatic. So I want to quote here something from Debbie Ford. This is brilliant, and this is about our authentic selves and the whole title of tonight's show, which is about unveiling your true self. Every year at this time, I search my consciousness and ask the divine force to guide me so that I can pass on some wisdom, advice, or a message that will support you in using this time of ending 2007 and the fertile ground of beginning 2008 as a new opportunity to lay down the self of yesterday for the self of tomorrow. But you might ask why. Maybe you're thinking, today I really like the self that I am. Or maybe you've become attached to your suffering, your lack, or some part of yourself that you want to hold on to because you're convinced it's the real deal, the hottest you. Either way, this is what you need to know. Any self that you are attached to is not your true self. I love this one.
Any self that you are attached to is not your true self.
Is not your true self.
Okay.
Your true self would never concern itself with who you are, how you are viewed, what people think, what you have or don't have, what you look like, who your friends are, or what your sister or brother has that you don't have. Your true self is unmoved by your ego's desires, insecurities, fears, or unmet needs. Your true self is pure consciousness and cannot be found in a new car, a sexy dress, a book deal, attention and popularity, or in your bank account. It can never be found while you're busy looking for the outer world to define who you are. There's only one self that can ensure that you will have a year filled with pure love, infinite love, honest love, divine love. There's only one self that can promise you happiness even when your computer crashes, your health breaks down, or your project fails. This self is love, and it is the only love worth seeking. It is the only true quest of the heart and of the soul. And so as you move towards a brand new year, keep this in mind. Your goals might be your greatest distraction, another of life's cosmic jokes, because that which we seek in the outer world is only to find this pure place, this loving grace in our inner world.
Mm, that's wonderful.
What if this year you committed to reaching one goal and one goal only, to find your holiness, to unveil your true self, to live as the divine expression of God that you are? What if you wholeheartedly committed with every ounce of intention to not settle for the persona of a spiritual person, but rather to be the divine expression of God in each and every moment of each and every day? To wake up each morning inside your commitment to reconnect with something so much larger than yourself, as something that inspires you to give up trying to be someone special in the outer world and instead surrender to the only true love, the only guaranteed love there is, your higher self. That one takes my breath away.
Mm-hmm. So how do we do that in one easy lesson?
Okay, so here we go. Let's talk about the pipeline.
Perfect.
So we're back to the pipeline.
Right on.
Okay. The pipeline, which again, for those of you listening for the first time tonight, you may want to go back into the archives and listen to the last couple of shows. The pipeline is something that Lazarus talked about for many, many, many years. And, you know, I had several profound experiences, I hate to repeat myself here, but need to for background, of manifesting things that I had put in the pipeline. One is the house that I'm in. I put it in the pipeline about 15 years ago, and I'm living in it. And it was such a shock to me the way that I got here. It wasn't my intention. I certainly didn't think so. But I'm here. And another was, you know, something else that I had put out, you know, having a lot of fun with my girlfriends and stating, this is what I want, da-da-da-da-da-da, and boom, it showed up. And so it made me very conscious. The pipeline is a place that holds, if you will, all the things that you thought you wanted and put a lot of emotion behind. And I would say that pipeline right now, you may have some old stuff in there from the last 10, 12 years. I recommended last week, I think it was, or the week before, about going into meditation, bringing in all your guides together with great big carts and wheelbarrows and so on, and go into a forest, you know, go to a clearing, meet all your guides, have them follow you with their carts and their wheelbarrows. I mean, really get into this one until you find this giant pipe. I mean, you know, this is not rocket science here.
It's pipeline science, yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. And, you know, because you're working with the mind, okay, go in. What's in there? There may be some stuff left over from childhood. You know, the tricycle you never got, the bike you never got, the, you know, still in the pipeline. Get it out. You know, you don't... The guy that you thought you were in love with, you know, 10 years ago, get him out. You know, the car that you wanted that you never got, you know, the prom you didn't get to go, whatever. Get all the old stuff out of there that you can't, that's still in there. And it may be just pictures of it. It may be some symbology of it, but you'll get it because that's the way your mind... Once your mind knows what you're after, your subconscious will cooperate dramatically. And have your guides to start loading stuff into the carts and taking it out. Believe me, they'll help you. They don't want to see you manifest this old stuff.
Hmm.
Boy, I can't emphasize this enough right now, too. Because we're changing so rapidly that working with your pipeline should be something you do fairly regularly.
So it's just cleaning out all kinds of old affirmations and cleaning out old thoughts and beliefs that you're done with.
And fears.
And fears, that's it.
There's fears in there also. And this is something that everybody's got a bugaboo. Wouldn't you agree, Ronnie?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's, I mean, in this lifetime, I've, because of the, for whatever reason, whatever I was thinking in between lifetimes, you know,
You must have had a great sense of humor, eh, Jackie?
Yeah, hysterical. I'm a stand-up comedian on board ship somewhere. I must be the opening show for the... with the Galactic Federation's annual, you know. But whatever's in there, really get it out and clean it out. I mean, if it doesn't fit right now, get it out. Now, how do you fill the pipeline once you've got it cleaned out? And it was interesting because today we did a session with someone who said, well, I want to fill my pipeline now. And they wanted the team to work with them. And it was, this was really wonderful. They went back to the same forest, the same clearing, and all of their guides, friends, you know, higher self, everybody were there in the clearing around a lovely fire, not too high, in a circle, sitting in this big circle. And they started saying, well, I want this. Well, you know, they were kind of giving them the thumbs up, thumbs down kind of thing, you know, when they'd come up with something. And, you know, it's interesting. It's one thing to clean it out. I think it's really interesting when you start filling it back up again, coming up with things that are very succinct and that have, you can put a lot of emotion with. And I would really take a lot of time to do this. I mean, I would write about it. I'd journal about it. I'd think about it. What do you really want to create? And, I would say this to people because, boy, it came up during this session today. Don't go to money. Okay? Go to what you want to create. If it's a home, create the visual, the feeling of being in that home. That's the picture you want in the pipeline.
Hmm.
Don't worry about how the hell you're going to get it. Let the universe take care of that. But fill the pipeline with you in that home in a state of joy. Does that make sense, Ronnie?
Oh, it sure does. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, living in harmony with Earth and all of nature. Again, a picture of you in that state. You know, maybe you're in nature talking to trees or the divas or the fairies or whatever. Traveling to sacred sites, same thing. You may want to see yourself, you know, standing in front of the pyramids, you know, or in Machu Picchu or wherever. If it's about love, see yourself being in love. Absolutely, totally being in love and being surrounded with love, feeling loved. Don't worry about a picture of the person. I did this once, and it was a funny story. Lazarus had a tape with magically creating relationships or some damn thing. And I did it every day, and I visualized exactly what I wanted in a man. I had the picture of him, down to the mustache. And I did that meditation every day after work when I got back. I was in real estate. And I guarantee you I met that man. And he was gorgeous. And the moment I saw him, I knew this was it. And, I mean, it was like something out of it, you know, where you see the stars and everything, you know, on a comic book. You know? There's only one problem. You know, and Lazarus has always said this, you'll get what you want.
But you forget some parts of the design, right?
Well, yeah, you'll get what you want, not necessarily what you ask for. Well, I had a belief about men not being integrous. I was madly in love. They arrested him 5 weeks later.
Oh, no, wow.
That's one of my favorite stories.
Small things you didn't put in your manifestation.
Yeah, yes. It was the fine print. But we don't have to worry about that now. But that's why I say don't worry about what he looks like. Okay, see yourself totally in love, supported. Make sure that they have integrity. You're sitting there thinking about what a wonderful person this is, spiritually evolved and so on. But write about this stuff before you go in and work with your guides so that you really have put some time and energy into it. Do some processing. Because this is really big stuff. If you're going to fill the pipeline with what it is you want and
Well, now, Jackie, I got to say something. I told you my funny story about Big Wally, the wall washer.
Oh, absolutely
that,
precious.
But that was an instantaneous affirmative statement. That wasn't a pipeline. That wasn't a structure.
But it did go into the pipeline, Ronnie.
Yeah, I guess it did, but it sure came like, bazoing.
Well, and I've had a few of those myself. That's why I say, you know, when we make these really profound statements with a lot of energy behind them and we don't realize that we have popped it into the pipeline. So, you know, I would recommend to everybody, go in there and check it out.
Dust off your brain. We're running programs we don't even realize.
That's right.
Programs of desire or need or...
And one of those things that I manifested, I was out on the golf course playing with my girlfriends and we were drinking and I popped that one in. So this is why I don't drink anymore. The other thing is, spend some time with your child and adolescent before you do this. Make sure they're on board. And, you know, I mean, if you have to go into, if any of you listening out there have not been working with your child and adolescent, this is the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure they're in agreement, because I know you, I'm sure you run into this too, Ronnie, where we get an adolescent with their heels dug in going, you know,
no, I'm not going there.
Right.
I'm not doing it your way.
And they will find a way to sabotage it. Or your child. And I mean, this is, we're integrating right now. This is our true self. And our true self is integrating the child and adolescent in.
Right.
You know, my little girl right now, she wants to go play so bad, she drives me nuts. And thank God that the adult in me, you know, the focused adult, you know, if we didn't have excitement like we had the other day, I would never be able to hold the kids on board. The same thing for health, and this is so important. Please don't put in there, you know, I don't want to have cancer, or I don't want to have this sore arm, or, you know, this psoriasis, or whatever you're dealing with. See yourself in radiant health, vital, youthful, exhilarated, you know, able to dance and move around. And, you know, Ronnie, I know you do this all the time, honey. You are a dancer. But there are a lot of people that don't, and in perfect weight.
Hmm.
You know, don't put yourself in there, you know, struggling to zip up your Levi's, you know. So you may want to spend time, you know, I mean, you know, make this really a focus. I've talked to so many people that have said, yeah, I got in there and man, I cleaned out my pipeline and I'm really thrilled. And people's guides are coming in and helping them. I mean, I'm seeing where this is, you know, this took on a life of its own. You know? So, you know, but creating, and I really believe that the other one is, how do you want to contribute to the earth? What do you want to be doing? You know,
when we go into the one earth or the new earth and so on, that's the sort of interesting thing too, because we're contributing to a higher frequency conscious earth, aren't we?
Absolutely. And, you know, if you visualize yourself, you may not know specifically what it is,
mm-hmm.
but making a contribution, whether it's to empowering people or healing people, because we're all healers. Everybody listening is a healer. You know, whether you're doing it through art or writing or your desire, if you just go to the desire side, which is to make that contribution, okay, of helping people see their magnificence and their finding their personal freedom from the bondages of limitation. You know, I mean, you don't want to make it too dramatic, but knowing that you're helping people see their beauty, their wonder, and their power, and owning their power. The ways and means for that, your guides will help you get there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think people will start realizing, because people are still walking around, I know you hear this all the time, Ronnie, what's my purpose?
Mm-hmm, right.
Well, your purpose is to help us, all of our purpose is to help birth a new earth.
Mm-hmm.
And to be the examples, to make the map, to set the new morphogenic grid for others to be able to get there.
And to get more into the authentic being, the self, the real self, yeah.
You know, I have to say this, Ronnie, and you're my great reminder for this. You've said it to me a million times. You keep seeing me change and change and change and change. Every time I go through something, I go through another shift, another change. I have quit hanging on to who I am because I've decided I have no clue who that is.
Well, yeah, but exactly. I feel the same way. It's like we get younger and younger and younger because it's a new being all the time.
Well, and I've watched you, and I've watched you evolve as the layers peel off, you know, becoming more and more and more and more freedom. And, you know, again, this is another piece here, freedom. And I want to touch on this.
It's a fun word, isn't it? That's a tricky word.
It's a tricky word.
Mm-hmm.
I have a girlfriend who has, looking in at her, would be perceived as a tremendous amount of freedom.
Hmm.
She doesn't have to work. She's got a beautiful brand new Jaguar and a facelift and lots of diamonds. And she's bored out of her freaking mind and cannot find her passion.
Hmm.
I have another friend who is wealthy off the beyond anything people could imagine. She is wealthy. And then some. You could just pretty much take it to the top and square it and then take it to the top again.
Wow.
And she's trying to find her passion. And as she said to me once, from all of her different homes all over the world, you know, sometimes you have the money, but you don't know what your passion is. Sometimes you have your passion, you don't have the money. It depends on what lifetime it is.
Ain't that the truth, yeah?
Yes, it is.
I see that a lot, actually.
And so it's really about responsibility. And, you know, again, Lazarus talked about this years ago, and when I was walking tonight, it really came forward. Jack and Penny, when Penny was alive, and Michael, her husband, when he was alive, they went off to decide what they were going to do about the whole Lazarus thing and took a couple of days off. And in doing so, they created more and more things to do and took more and more responsibility. And I really believe that we're all, every one of us, looking at, you know, it doesn't mean that it's not freedom. It doesn't mean that it's not exciting. But being responsible, the ability to respond, is a big piece of why we're here. I look at my girlfriend and I think, you know, we may talk at 8:30 in the morning and she's, you know, got this and this to do and then she's done for the day and I know that I'm just barely scratched the surface of my day. And I've been at the computer since 6:15. And I never complain, you know, it's not a matter of complaining or anything, but because I recognize our paths are just, if we laugh about this all the time, you know, there's three of us that together were the perfect woman. Each one of us runs it differently in this lifetime. And for a lot of people that have a regular job, their freedom would be not having to work.
Unless, Jackie, their work is actually an expression of their real selves, and then it's all part of the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, here we go, Veronica. We make it an expression of our real self, and if we hold that resonance, the appropriate thing for us to do will then come in,
mm-hmm.
no matter what we're doing at this moment. Everything can be an expression of our true self. It's not limited to what we're doing in terms of our specific job or anything else. It is about being our true selves all the time and knowing that we're in service wherever we are.
That brings the freedom into many situations, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. That does create freedom.
Yeah.
Instead of feeling like you're chained because you have to do this in order to make a living. And I think that's where it gets twisted, and then you feel martyred, and stuck, and that, you know, and then you get contracted, and that's not what you want to do. And I go back to Debbie Ford, what Debbie Ford wrote about, you know, when you are attached to your true identity being the book deal or the this or the that, that's not the true you.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not the true you.
That's, and like, it's the old line, if I made it, is not the true you, you know? Like,
oh wow,
I made it. Yeah.
I mean, look at Oprah Winfrey. You know, do you really believe, I mean, she's in the rags all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she has her problems.
And I've heard, I don't watch much of Oprah, but I have heard her say that whether you have a lot of money or not, you still have money problems. And if you don't know who you are, you still don't know who you are, whether you look great or not. So
that's exactly right.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing.
It's exactly right. This is really an inside job for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's an inside job. It's not about how much money. It's not about any of those things. I couldn't agree with you more. Thanks for bringing that one up, Ronnie, because I think you're absolutely right. And so many people all over the planet, because they have struggled with either money or health or love or whatever, believe that if they have that, everything else will be okay. And
mm-hmm.
that's not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being okay with ourselves, finding our true happiness, our true self within ourselves. And then everything else will come in. We're just going in that we're going in a whole new direction to get there. That now,
mm-hmm.
a whole new direction.
I always want to include that multidimensional aspect of the true self as well.
Oh,
that's me going, oh, gee, that's an identity problem right there. But I really want that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you that their ability to interact with us is ramping up.
Great,
and the reason it is because we're taking responsibility, and the more responsibility we take, the more interaction we can have.
Great.
It is in direct proportion. It's not about, oh, help me. It's about, I'm taking responsibility. Let's do this co-creatively, and they're on board. When you do it that way, boy, they are there.
Excellent.
That's the key. And, you know, Bashar has said the same thing. Don't ask us. Let's discuss. Bring us an idea, and we'll discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
We can go further with you that way. And I think that's a big clue. We're running up on the hour. Ronnie, give them your website, darling.
It's Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com. No, that's my email. www.veronicaentwistle.com. But I just want to say, Jackie, that on my show, Paradigm Shifters, next Tuesday, because you won't be on it, at 5 o'clock, it's Lynn Andrews, who did Medicine Woman. Do you remember? She cracked open a whole consciousness with her books, Medicine Woman, and then she went through, I think, 5 or 6 books of discovering her journey, and she was really quite a guru for many of us who were opening way back when.
How fabulous.
Yeah, and she's just written a book about women between two worlds. It's all about women and menopause and so on, and so I'm excited to have her on because she has a rather long history of being a paradigm shifter, and that's 5 o'clock at BBS, and my show Radiance is on at 4 o'clock, BBS Radio.
Beautiful. We'll tune in. Veronica, I love you. To everyone, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. And if any of you need the notes from tonight's show, you're welcome to email me, and I'll send them off. There are a couple of quotes in there that are quite profound. A piece of you is in Veronica and I, and each and every one of you, and a piece of us is in every one of you. It can be no other way. We all are one, and we love you. And Ronnie, I love you.
I love you, too. It's been a wonderful time to be together again.
Absolutely, and we'll talk to all of you next week. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Have a fabulous week.